I see the light. I see the light. Amen. I see the light. I see the light. Oh, thank you, God. I see the light. Bring me away over Jordan and out of this place. My beloved, for you I wait. You two forever face to face. There's a sun coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul. There's a sun coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul. I see the light.
Can be seated.
Anybody else need to see the light besides me? Man, it's good stuff. All right, I want to ask the Shepherds and the Caseys if they'll come up. Did you know that even through COVID, God's still at work? Did you know that? Steve and Susan Shepherd, y'all raise your hand. Steve and Susan, come this morning to transfer their membership into our church. And Kyle and Stephanie Casey and Sutton and Sawyer, come this morning to also join our church. We're excited to have you guys. Yes, yes. So the one that's anybody over this tall has accepted Christ, right? And been and been baptized. And we're going to be sharing that with these children as well. So y'all have already accepted Christ and you have been baptized in that faith. And so we receive that this morning. We ask you now just to affirm, is Jesus Christ still your Lord and Savior? Yes. Amen. Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. Normally we would all hug and do all that stuff and everything. Everybody just kind of go, welcome. Just kind of welcome. How's that? We love you guys. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for joining our church. We look forward to a great future together. You can be seated. And I'm going to invite Carlene. It's Teresa this morning. See, I didn't forget you, Teresa. If the children will come forward, we'll have our children's message.
Welcome. I am glad you are here this morning. It's good to see everyone. I wanted to share with you a story I heard, and her name is Tomato Joe. I know. I looked it up, and she was called Tomato Joe because she loved tomatoes. She ate tomatoes for breakfast. She ate tomatoes for lunch. She ate tomatoes for dinner. She snacked on tomatoes. She loved tomatoes. So what happened was one day she decided that she wanted to grow tomatoes. So she went to the store and she asked the owner there, she says, I need some tomato seeds. And the store owner said, I don't have any tomato seed, but I have carrots. So Tomato Joe said, okay, I'll take the carrot seeds. So she took the carrot seeds, she took them home, she planted the carrot seeds, and then she watered them with tomato juice. And she says, now I'll get some tomatoes. But what did she get? Carrots. She didn't get tomatoes, so she went back to the store. And she said, no, I don't want carrots, I want tomatoes. I need some tomato seeds. The store owner said, I don't have tomato seeds. And she said, well, what do you have? She says, I have strawberries. She says, okay, I'll take the strawberry seeds. So she goes home, she plants the strawberry seeds, she waters them with tomato juice for the tomatoes. But what did she get? Strawberries. Was she a wise woman? No. And I got to thinking, we are just like Tomato Joe. You say, how? How are we like her? I don't try to grow strawberries using tomato juice. But do you know what we do? We say, I want to be generous. But then when the time comes to be generous and share our crayons or share our doll or our pencils or anything that we have, all of a sudden we're not sharing and we're not being generous. If we're not being generous, we're not going to become generous. Or let's think we want to be loving. We want to be loving. But then the time comes and our brother or sister makes us angry. We instead give out anger instead of love. Or we get frustrated. Our friends irritate us, our parents. We have people we don't even know who irritate us out in public. And we get angry and that's not showing love at all. So we are trying to plant anger and get love. And it doesn't work that way. We can't plant anger and plant our frustrations and think that our end result is going to be love. That's not the way it works. This is called reaping what you sow. And what that means is that we have to do what we want to become. So if we want to become generous, we must be generous in our daily lives. And we have to choose to be that way because we won't always feel like being generous. We will have to choose to do so. The same is true with love. If we want to be a loving person, we have to, on a daily basis, be loving even when we're not feeling loving towards them. We don't even have to like the person, and we still have to show them love. And that is how we become loving. It says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. He becomes what he does. Let's bow our heads. Father God, help us to know that we reap what we sow. Help us to sow love, trust, compassion, and generosity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord together. If you want to register your attendance, you can do that through our app. And if you're worshiping with us online, God bless you. Great that you've tuned in with us. You can also register your attendance as well. If you're new to our fellowship and have not given us any of your information and would like to do that, you can do that through our app as well. There's an online connect card there that you can fill out and we'll get that information and follow up with your visit. God bless you as you pursue the Lord with us this morning. Wanted to remind you that our Wednesday night ministries start back this Wednesday night. Our children, youth, and adult community groups have a meal from 5. Get a shout out on that, somebody? Yeah. Sailor's excited about that. So, meal starts at 5, ends at 6, and the groups run from 6 to 7:30. So come join us for that. And also wanted to remind you that our Sunday school started back this morning. We have children and youth Sunday school plus one adult Sunday school that meets in the fellowship hall. We just felt like we needed to continue to press into the Lord during this time. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you that word Catholic in the creed means universal. We have several in our church that are struggling with COVID, and I want to encourage you to pray for them during your personal prayer time. You know, Miller Loudermilk is still in the hospital. She's been in there for 6 or 7 days and is doing better daily. So continue to pray for her. I visited with Ken Keefe this week by text, and he's has a couple more weeks on oxygen. That's been going on for 6 or 7 weeks, and so pray for him, for healing for him. And I know there's others, and I know there's some in our congregation who have lost people due to COVID. Bless you guys and several other you. So just continue to pray into that in your personal prayer time. Today is the Sanctity of Life Sunday. Actually, this Sunday and next Sunday is the Sanctity of Life Sundays. Roe v. Wade became law in 1973 on January 22nd, so pro-life organizations has asked the church to pray into that these two Sundays. I want to be sensitive to younger ears in the room, so I just want to share a few things and then pray into that. Some statistics, 800,000 abortions annually, down from a high of 1.6 million. That's something to rejoice about, but one is too many. A total of 61 million since 1973. Every 1 in 5 pregnancies end that way. And I know COVID has been a big issue this year, and we're concerned about the death toll from that, which we need to be, but the number one death worldwide, 10 times as many deaths than COVID is abortion. And you know, why does that not stir me? Why does that not stir us? You know, when Cain killed Abel, God said, the blood of Abel cries out from the ground to me. So something was going on in the spiritual realm that God could hear. And I've heard it said by some that if the blood of one person cried out to God, what does the blood of 61 million children sound like in the spiritual realm? So I want to pray into that this morning. I'd like for you to join me. And as I pray, I'm fully aware that there may be some in this room or online that have experienced the pain of this, have made that decision or helped make that decision. I just want to let you know that there's grace and mercy. Jesus stands with his arms open wide. So pray with me. Father, we acknowledge that you're holy. Lord, we acknowledge that life comes from you. And Lord, when you created man out of the dust, you took him yourself. You spoke the rest of the animal kingdom into existence. You spoke the rest of creation into existence. But man, you took the dust of the ground and you formed him. And Lord, your word says that you breathe life into his lungs. It's almost like a mouth-to-mouth situation. Lord, you breathe the breath of life into lungs. And Father, you continue to do that today. So Father, in regard to this issue, Lord, we repent. We repent for it not grieving us, not grieving the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just have to confess, I need help in this area. If I'm going to pray into this frequently, I need help in this area, Lord. Just let me know how offensive this is to you. Lord, I lift up those who have been through the pain of this and continue to live in that pain. Lord, even right now, would you just come up beside them and touch them and let them know that they're loved by you. Let them know that there's restoration, Lord. Let them know that there's forgiveness. Let them know that there's life beyond what they're experiencing right now. I'll touch them this day, God. Lord, and I pray for those today that's trying to determine if that's the direction they need to go. Lord, I just pray, God, that you just prompt their hearts. And God, I just pray that the word of life just resonates with them. Lord, I pray for the abortion providers, God. I pray that something shift in them, God, that there's a holy distaste for what they do. And the clinic workers, God, I pray that you open their eyes to what's going on, God. I pray for a holy distaste for what they do. And God, I just thank you for organizations like Pregnancy Resources and Abilene, God, that are helping ladies choose life. Lord, I pray for wisdom for them, God. I pray for strength for them as they minister to those young ladies. Lord, I just pray that they have grace and mercy just oozing out of them when they encounter someone trying to determine if that's the right direction to go or not. God, would you just bless them, make financial provision for them, Lord. Help them not to grow weary in doing good. And Lord, I ask, God, that our nation be a nation that values life on all levels, God. Lord, I thank you that what looks like to be a pro-life Supreme Court. And Lord, I just pray for an end to abortion. Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love. Lord, I just pray for those who may be struggling this morning, those who have recently lost loved ones due to COVID or other reasons. Lord, I just pray for peace for them, comfort for them. Oh, Lord, it's just so good to be in your house with your people. We just thank you for allowing us to do this. And we love you for who you are. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue to worship this morning, invite you either here. We have our offering plates on the altar here, and at home you can give through the online giving so we can worship with our offering as well.
Turn to one.
Jesus is great, isn't he?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever.
Like never before. Oh my. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you that you never change. That your love for us is constant. That your grace knows no bounds. And we rest in that this morning. You can be seated.
Good morning again. We're starting to kind of build a little momentum here in the sanctuary, getting a few more folks. I love it. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're with us. And as Billy's mentioned earlier, for all of us, there's our Wiley Methodist app. You can go on the app and you can register your attendance with us. There's a guest registration as well. And I would love to meet you if you are our guest this morning. I'll be out at this end of the foyer at the end of the service and have a gift for our guests. We'd love to meet you there. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now, we're going to pick it up in verse 7, but I want to kind of set it up. This, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he has, prior to where we're going to pick it up in verse 7, he has warned them against, this is a hard word for me to say, Judaizers, which are the Jews that had chosen to follow Christ, but they were trying to hold everyone that came to follow Christ to the Old Testament law. They wanted them specifically, one of their biggest deals was they thought that they needed to be circumcised. And Paul tells the church in Philippi a warning against these Judaizers. And he says, hey, if these guys want to put confidence in the flesh, let me tell you about confidence in the flesh. He had lots of, he went right down the list. That he was circumcised, he was a Jew, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, that he was a Pharisee, that he was had righteous zeal and faithfulness, and that he had all the boxes were all checked for the flesh. So we pick it up in verse 7 after he tells them all of that. But whatever was to my profit, Paul says, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we trust that you are here. We ask you now to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So continuing this sermon series that I started last week, I hope that if you missed last week, I hope you'll go to our website or our app and catch up with the message last week. I think it's important in this journey that we're in. In God we trust. And today's message is press in and press on. Y'all may not realize this, but typically when I'm preaching and I'm developing messages, most of it's for me. I'm just letting y'all listen in. Did you know that? I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having to fight for joy these days. Is this on? I'm having to fight for it. it just seems like everything is, you know, right is left and left is right and up is down. I mean, it just feels like the whole world's gone mad. Anybody else feeling that? And I'm just fighting for it. For 3 months, I've basically taken a hiatus from the news. People have to kind of tell me what's going on. Because it's to me right now, it's just like poison. It's just like poison. So I'm trying to put the things of God into my heart and my soul and my mind. But did you know one of the things I ran across, one of the positive articles that I read from a pastor this week, did you know that God only gets the glory when there's no more options? Did you know that? And think back at Scripture, you know, if everything was going hunky-dory and Congress was making all kinds of really good decisions and everything was, you know, man, everybody was just doing, it's like they would be, oh, man, we got a good Congress, don't we? We got, our politicians are really doing their job. But when everything is falling apart and there seems like there's no other option for us, then God is the only one who can bail us out. God is the only option that we have, and when he bails us out, he gets glory. I think back at Scripture, so many examples of this. I think about Abraham and Sarah. I mean, she was 90 years old and had lived 90 years with the shame of being barren. I mean, it seemed like all hope was lost. Guess what? God steps in and little Isaac comes along. Daniel, he won't bow down to the person that wants the king who wants him to worship him. He'll only bow down to God, and he gets thrown in the lion's den. It looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it? Guess what? He walked out of the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also in the book of Daniel, they wouldn't bow down to the king, and the king had the furnace heated up, what was it, how many times? I hadn't read it lately. So he had to heat it up so hot that the people that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to throw them in the furnace, they burned up. And then they're looking in the furnace, and the three that they threw in there, there's a fourth one in there with them. They're like, hey, there's four in there. What's up with that? And they came out of the furnace unsinged. Even there was not even the smell of smoke on their clothes. I wonder who got the glory on that one. Seemed like that all hope was lost. Moses leads the people out of Egypt, and he finds himself, the Pharaoh changes his mind, and he's charging at him, and he's going to wipe them out, and they're backed up to the sea. In fact, God said for them to camp by the sea. He wanted them to have this hopeless situation. So they got the sea on their back, and they got the Egyptians charging them from the front, and they're kind of, woe is me, it's all hope is lost. And God says, wait a minute, just raise your staff. Just raise your staff and watch me work. I'm ready for a Red Sea moment. Anybody else? I don't have any magic answers. As I said last week, I don't have magic answers. It's like, oh, if we just do this or we do that or call this person and, you know, organize this or that. It's like the only thing I know to do is like the message says today, press in and press on. Pray. So that's going to, we're going to jump right in here. The first thing I believe God is calling us to do as we trust in Him is to press into Christ by faith. And faith means that we're not assured of, there's not a sure thing. Faith means we trust God. Press in to Christ by faith because nothing else matters. And I went on and added, or is the solution. Nothing else matters. I don't really care how much money you got in the bank. You're walking through the same fire I am. You may have more money. You may be better looking. You may have more hair. You may have more friends. You may be all of these things, more successful. But you're walking through the same journey I am. Pressing in. This Paul is saying in verse 8, I consider everything. He said, I've got all of these things of the flesh in order. I've checked all the boxes. But I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I consider these things, these earthly things, these fleshly things, I consider them rubbish. For those West Texans, that means garbage. Trash. We had my cousins had this man from England that, you thought of that when you think of rubbish, had this man from England that was living with them. They just found, you have to know my cousin. Lar Joe, if you're watching, you're weird. But anyway. But they had, and I remember they just kind of, he was wandering around the country and they said, hey, why don't you come live with us for a while? I don't know. That's odd. But anyway. But he talked funny. He talked funny. I mean, he's English, but I didn't understand a word he was saying. One day he said, I'm going to take the rubbish to the lane. And I think he just said, I'm going to take the trash out to the street. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Paul is saying all of these earthly things, all of these things that I've checked off that everybody says I'm supposed to do, that's rubbish. It means nothing to me now. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which through faith is Christ. And he goes on to say, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Does anybody else need some power these days? Just sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I just need power to make it through the day. Because I got to tell, I mean, this is heavy stuff to me. I think it is to a lot of us, what's going on in our world. I was, I'm kind of, I like to watch shows about the wild animals in Africa and stuff. Anybody else like to watch that? I know it's odd, but anyway, I like to do that. And I ran across this one video, and this mama elephant had this little baby, and the lions got a whiff of it. They always look for the weak link, the lions do, as they're trying to survive. And they saw this little baby elephant, and they're thinking, hey, that looks like supper to me. And I remember that as the lions came and they began to press in on the little baby, that first of all, the baby nuzzled into mama. Came right in and just nuzzled in. It's like that baby instinctively knew that his mama would protect him. He pressed in. Hello. Is this still on? He pressed in to the safe place. And let me tell you, mama didn't disappoint. Mama took care of those lions. I believe with all my heart what one of the main answers as we are looking at the chaos of our day is to press into Christ. Man, press in to him. Just and that looks a lot of different ways, but I think we need to bear down and pray. And I wasn't going to say this, but I'm just going to say it. Please don't see this as scolding, because I think you guys are an incredible church. But y'all know that I'm part of One Kingdom, which is a group of pastors and civic leaders in the city. And our goal is to just pray blessings on our city and unity and so forth. And I guess it's about a month ago, we thought, man, we need to have a citywide Zoom prayer time where people can just, because people that are afraid to get out of their house, don't want to get out of their house right now, can just come together and pray because everything's a mess. And I'm not scolding you. This is just on my heart. We had me and two others from our church participate in that. And I'm thinking, I know we got lies and we got stuff, but I'm just thinking, what is it going to take for us to hit our knees? What's it going to take for us to hit our knees? Man, it's time to press in. Secondly, not only do we press in, but we press on toward the goal of knowing Christ better. Paul says it in verse 12. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind, just to me, it's saying setting aside. Man, I know that it's churning. The world's churning. Setting it aside and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So there's this pressing into God, and then it's moving forward. A few years ago, back when my knees were better and I was younger and all that, and Cheryl and I used to backpack, and I remember one particular year, we would pack into the mountains, and it would be an all-day pack in, and then we'd set up a base camp, and then we'd do day hikes from the base camp. And I remember one year we decided there was a lake, I believe it was called Emerald Lake, and we were in Colorado. And from our base camp, you had to travel up, I don't know how long, probably a couple of thousand feet, up to this ridge, and then you kind of worked your way down into Emerald Lake. And as we were going up, and it was a really steep climb, and as we were going up, it began to rain. And we're out in the middle of nowhere. It began to rain, And it was cold rain. It was kind of a sleety cold rain. And we thought, well, a lot of times storms would pass very quickly in the mountains. So we just kept on going, and we saw after, 20 minutes or so, we saw this isn't going to stop, so we better put our rain gear on. So we put ponchos on over our gear, and we're making our way up. Well, what that did is it sealed in the cold rain. It was blocking what was coming, but what has already soaked into our clothes. It just sealed that in. And so, man, I honestly, for one of the few times in the mountain, I thought, I think I'm going to die. I really do. I think I'm going to die up here in the mountains. And we had a gentleman with us. I won't name his name, but we had a gentleman who was in college, and he was a world-class athlete. I'm not kidding you. This guy had set national records in his event. And it was his first backpacking trip. So anyway, we got up to the ridge and made our way down to the lake, and everyone made it safely. And he got hypothermia. This guy, he got hypothermia, and you watch for that in the mountains. And honestly, we made a fire, and he sat by that fire, and he was just like, it was like, man, there wasn't the light bulb wasn't even on. I mean, he just glazed over, and we sat there and let him warm up and everything, and got him back to base camp, and everything turned out okay. But I don't think he's been in the mountains since that trip. But when we were caught on that incline, and it began to rain, and we were cold, and we were in trouble, the only thing I knew was just press on, just keep going, because there's safety at the top. We can stop, we can make a fire, we can get warm again. And we knew that the goal was to get to the top, and we just, all we need to do is just keep taking one more step, just keep climbing, because it's up there. So God is calling us to press into Him in faith and to press on to the goal of knowing Him better. He's at work. I don't know about you, but I'm growing through this. It's in pain, man. Growth can be painful, can it? But I'm growing. Paul in 2 Corinthians says it this way: we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed; perplexed, but not in despair. Is any of this hitting home? Anybody feel like that? Maybe you could have wrote that. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. God is calling us, tuck in, and press on. And I mentioned this as leads me to my third point here. I mentioned this as same third point as last week, if you go back and watch last week. Christ uses trials to mature us. I remember when my youngest daughter, she grew like, I think she grew 2 feet in 1 week when she was a teenager. But I don't know. She was growing fast at this time. And I remember, I don't know if Jordan, if you remember this, but I remember tucking her in one night, and she just said, "Daddy, I hurt." I'm like, "Well, what's wrong? Did you fall? No. Are you sick? No. I just hurt." "What hurts?" "Everything just hurts." Well, what was happening was that those bones and ligaments and everything was stretching. She was growing. Growth sometimes hurts. Christ uses trials to mature us, though, church. All of us in verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such view of things. And what's he saying? He's like, if all of us who are mature in our faith should understand that we need to press in and press on. The theological word there is sanctify. That God is, He is rooting out the sin in us. He is rooting out our flesh, and He is moving us on to holiness. I also ran across another story that kind of struck me. It's kind of a simple story, but there was a mom and her two boys, and they're going through the grocery store, and the little one is getting fussy. Probably none of us can relate to that. The little one's getting fussy, and she looks over and she sees these little glow sticks beside the register as she's trying to get out and get home. And she gets one of those glow sticks and she hands it to her youngest son. And so, man, he's looking at that glow stick, and the crying stopped. And big brother, anybody else have a big brother that would do what I'm fixing to tell you? Big brother grabbed the glow stick from the little brother, and the crying commenced again. But then big brother snapped the glow stick, shake it a little bit, and it started to glow, that beautiful color, and handed it back to little brother. And he said, "Mom, you got to break it for it to glow." Hello. Anybody else feeling broken this morning? Maybe you're thinking everything's great and wonderful, and hallelujah, I'm happy for you. But I've been struggling. God loves us. He's not abandoned us. Right now, it feels like our back may be to the Red Sea, and we may see the Egyptians charging. But He hasn't left us. In fact, He promises never to leave us or forsake us. Psalms 9, I love this passage, these two verses. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Hello. Those who know your name will trust in you. How are we doing with that, church? For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. He hasn't forsaken us. He won't forsake us. We got to trust Him. We got to press in, and we got to press on. And we got to fight for it. We got to fight for our joy. Because the people need Christ. People need Christ. And they're going to see Him in us. Or they're not going to see Him in us. And that's the challenge before us. If we say ugly and tacky and dirty things on Facebook, man, you think that's drawing anybody to Christ? Man, just, we need to be salt and light. Press in. Press on. And let Him do with us what He pleases, because He loves us. If you'll just bow your heads with me as our praise team comes back up. Father, let me rephrase that. Lord, I confess that I need you. I need to press in. I need to press on. I need to trust you. I need you to fill me with your joy and your love. I need you to help me to see others as you see them. And Father, our country, we need you. We are lost and broken, confused. And we just need you to move in the midst of it all. We need you to, we raise our staff and we ask you to part the sea. The furnace is heated and we feel like we're in it, and we need you to come and walk around and be in there with us. We need you to close the mouths of the lions. We need you to bring fruit to a barren womb. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but you have not abandoned us. And we trust you. And we need you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. As we close, as we pray, the altar rail is open again. I will be out in the foyer. Would love to greet you and greet our guests. Stand if you're able, please. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.